Drunk on Comics, episode 114. In this week's podcast, we talk about Inhumans, Godzilla, Ghosted, and The Walking Dead. We talked a great deal about movies from our past, but also there's some new movies coming out from Marvel and DC, with two confirmations, one of Aquaman and one of Inhumans. We also discussed the return of Apocalypse in the Axis event, lawsuits over the word Comic-Con, and Miley Cyrus. So grab some booze and enjoy episode 114 of Drunk on Comics.
Yeah, and so here's and here's a perfect example. Drunk on Comics. Welcome to the show, everybody.
Are we serious? We're starting now.
Yeah, we started then,
and now.
That's how he wants it to roll.
Yes. Just let it roll off your tongue. So yeah, it'll come out. We are drunk on comics,
and you shouldn't...
we feel that way.
Hey, you don't get to talk, asshole.
I know. What did I say I was going to be today?
I just want to talk and not think.
Yeah, so I can talk then. And I'm not thinking what I'm saying, so I'm doing my part right.
This is your normal fucking week, Tony. I'm just going to say words, and I'm not going to think about what they are. But anyway, I'm Derek.
Kevin.
This is Tony.
And we're drunk on comics, motherfuckers. So, we swear and we say bad words, and I am definitely going to spoil the shit out of some comics.
Yeah,
today.
I noticed, and it's probably been this way for a while. I guess I've never noticed, but we finally got the explicit thing iTunes.
We originally had it, and then we made some changes with some stuff.
We changed the show? What the hell's going on?
Yeah, no.
What? I've been gone for 4 weeks? You changing everything up on me?
Well, no, our explicit status went away when somebody did something on the back end of our website. I don't know.
That wasn't me.
I know it wasn't you. I know who it was, though.
Oh, okay.
So when that changed, our explicit went away. And then when somebody else went back and fixed something, then it was put back.
Fuck. Shit.
Shame on you, person.
Yeah. About as useful as a bag of assholes.
You mean calamari?
Which you like?
What? Dude, you take the breading out away from it, it looks like a bleached pig's asshole.
Well, you don't always have to have it deep fried, Kevin. You can also have it pan seared and then it just looks like a big plate of assholes.
So
that's the only seafood that I enjoy. Now I probably won't.
Well, now I just enjoy pig assholes. Bleached ones. So that's right, you can't sear them.
All right. Today's show.
Are we starting the show now?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Today's show is brought to you by bleached pig assholes. All right, we should get things actually kicked off here with Off the Shelf, which is our weekly reviews of our books that came out this week, which is why it's weekly. And I'm going to be like Tony and just say words and not think.
Well, I mean, the many books that I've read this week have brought me to want to start this off by saying I didn't really read any. I let you guys down.
Shh.
I'm sorry.
Just sit there and look pretty.
Okay. No, you could sit here and critique my shitty reviews, Derek. You're always bringing your A game to the table.
All right. Well, I'll bring my A game first then.
I mean, okay. I could do a lot of judging by the covers. I mean, man, this free previews of the Dark Tower, the drawing of three.
We already talked about that.
It's going to be amazing. I guarantee you.
I want to see this. When did this head come out?
The week that all you fuckers were gone and I had to talk to our good buddy,
Canada J.
Yeah. The Jedi Ross from Elgin Weapon.
No, holy shit. I picked up Amazing Spider-Man 5.
No, that's cool. Yeah. Cause, the shop that I was at, when I was away, I didn't get any free stuff.
Yeah.
I went, actually, while I was away, I stopped by at a comic book store called Big Bang.
Now, is this relatively new, or has the comic shop been around for a while?
You know, I stopped by there around the same time last year, and I think it was still called that. But I talked to the owner, but I didn't really. We talked about a bunch of other comic book related stuff, but I didn't really ask him anything about the store, about when the store was around. If your curiosity gets piqued, I'm talking about Big Bang Comics in Owensboro, Kentucky.
Holy shit! I didn't know you were in Kentucky.
Yeah, No, and actually, it was a really nice store. It was well stocked, and it was busy.
To start and end my review, I think I would have, had I read it, Fantastic Four or Inhuman. So,
well, that's a good tie-in, Tony, because I'm reviewing Inhuman.
Okay, then I will pretend that I read it and say that I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I know I will, so.
Okay, so Off the Shelf, brought to you by Grand Con, which is a comic and gaming convention happening here September 19th through the 21st, beautiful Grand Rapids, Michigan, at the Crown Plaza. Get your tickets now. Last I heard, all the vendor tables are sold out. All the artist alley tables are filled up. So it's going to be pretty damn cool. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to be there. And since Matt's not here still, and I think we voted this in anyway, it's going to be his turn to get poked with the stick.
Oh, yeah. He's going to...
Bring your own stick and it's free.
Bring fucking clubs. I mean...
Bring your own stick and it's free. If you want to borrow a stick from us, it's $5. And if you want it sharpened, it's $10. So,
I can't wait till we have that one fan that actually comes with a stick. Will you sign this?
All right. So, I'd just be happier if they just came up and just poked him with the stick, you know. But, yeah, you guys can check out Grand Con online at grand-con.com. And we'll see you there. Shit, that's less than a month away.
Yeah.
So, all right. Inhuman, number 3. Written by Charles Soule, art by Joe Madureira. Joe Madureira, I can never say his name, but we're just going to go Joe Mad. This is like the one name in comics my brain can't wrap around how to do it, but this is Joe Mad's last issue, so I won't have to worry about that. Colors by Marty Garcia and letters by VC's Clayton Cowles. So this one here, if you guys remember... And the reason I'm saying, if you remember, I had to go back and look because it'd been so damn long since issue 2 came out.
I know, this is one of the few books that Marvel has not been forcing down our throats every week or every other week like everything else.
If you remember...
I'd say, didn't the first issue come out like back in...
It was before Motor City when we talked to Charles Soule.
Yeah, it was like April.
Yeah, and I think issue 2 had just come out. So, it's been a while. Now, I know that there were production issues, and that's one of the reasons why Stegman's taken over on art.
Oh, by production issues, you mean drawing issues?
Just, yeah, timeline stuff.
Okay, because you say production issues, I'm thinking like, oh shit, the press went down.
Yeah, so, this book is... I've been interested in the Inhumans, and
yes,
but I've never been interested enough nor cared enough to go back and read old shit.
Okay.
So I've wanted to be introduced to them. I want to know more about who they are. I have a basic understanding, you know, of who the main characters are and all that, but I didn't want to go back and read old stuff just for the sake of reading old stuff because there just weren't any storylines that I'd heard about that I was that interested in.
Well, what's old to you? Like, drawing paintings? I mean...
No, like six, we're talking like the 60s, 70s Fantastic Four, yeah. Like where they were originated from?
Or yeah. Like 2005 type stuff that they had as well.
Dude, 2005, that's like yesterday. I know.
That's what I'm saying, but that would give you a better understanding of this incarnation.
Yeah, but what I'll say here is that Charles Soule is doing a fantastic job and I don't need to.
Gotcha.
Which, that's one of the reasons why I'm recommending this book is because... He has done a great job at introducing you to who these people are, their race, explaining a little bit of what's going on, while telling his own story at the same time. And one of the other reasons I wanted to mention this book is that even though it's issue 3, it's been such a long time since I read issue 2 that I'm like, I can attest this is a great jumping on point because I really don't remember, at least when I first read, I didn't remember what was going on in issue 1 and 2. I had to really go back and...
They didn't do the Marvel standard fare of doing a summary?
At
the beginning of the book?
There is a little summary at the beginning. Okay. I'm like, okay, yep, I vaguely remember that.
I fucking love that.
I vaguely remember that. But, excuse me, there's just a lot of little things that I was like, when I went back and reread, I'm like, okay, yep. But they do a nice job, you know, Charles Soule does a great job here, kind of walking you through this world if this was your first comic. But he doesn't beat you in the back of the head if you're somebody who knows a ton, you know, which that's a fine line to walk. And I think that Soule's managed to do a really nice job with that. The art by Joe Madd here is gorgeous as always. But, you know, I mean, it's a shame he's not going to be continuing, but at the same time, you guys know Stegman's been one of my favorite artists for a number of years, so I'm okay with that, because actually that works better when, you know, it's something I'm already reading on here. But they do a new, they're doing a nice job with this, too, with Inhumans, because they are introducing new characters. And Tony, I don't know if you remember at the tail end of the last one, but they brought in this new character called Lineage. And basically, he has a little reveal in here where he, you know, he explains that he knows all kinds of things and blah, blah, blah. And he opens up his shirt and he has like faces coming out from inside him, like Ooh. Under... And he is like absorbed people from the past, and when he's absorbed them, he gets all of their knowledge. So he knows what they knew, and knowledge is power, and all this kind of fun stuff. So it's a cool thing. I like the fact too that they are creating new characters.
Oh, that's what for me in comic world when they don't have new characters, and the same thing. It's like. I mean, well, they're creating characters. Creativity. Use some of that when you have endless possibilities, and then make them kind of main people.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, which is good, because that was always the thing that I didn't quite get with the Inhumans back when I was reading them, is, okay, you have this entire civilization, but yet you only highlight these 5 or 6 people. Like, I'm sure there's other people that have very interesting stories that could be expanded.
Yeah,
and so obviously that's what's happening here, which is great. Just as long as they don't, I guess, oversaturate us with too many people.
Well, you know, I think this is going to be one of those things where they can come out and they can bring out 50 characters. Like they have this one little girl in here who, you know, she goes and runs up to this one new guy who, you don't really know what his power set is at the beginning of the book, but he's kind of being adopted by the. What I'll call the dark side of the Inhumans, you know, and then you've got the good side with Medusa and all those on there. And she's like, oh, cool, it's nice to meet you. You know, Lash, who's kind of the main baddie in here, she's like, he must have picked you because you can do something cool. You know, what can you do? And look what I can do. And she makes her face blow up like a giant balloon. And I'm like, what the... How is that a power? But apparently she can blow really hard. So, okay. You know, I don't know, but it's kind of like, okay, well,
if they introduced her, it's somehow going to come in handy in the storyline.
Actually, there's a big fight, and you kind of see, okay, it's a somewhat useful power.
Mm-hmm.
But you've had your main character of Dante, who he's finally picked his Inhuman name, which he's going to go by Inferno.
Okay.
Which that then
did not see that coming.
I know. Well, then that brought me back to the 80s of when they had the Marvel event, the Inferno thing, where basically, mm-hmm. you know, you had all of hell running loose through New York and all the other titles and stuff like that. And so you had just like demons and shit everywhere. And like, I think Daredevil was fighting Mephisto at one point, and yeah, it was. So I was like, I wonder if that could possibly tie in, because I really hope it could. That would be sweet, but it's not going to. because that's just way too big of a stretch. But anyway, overall, really good story. You know, like I said, Soul did a good job of I know when he wrote this, I don't think his plan was is that for people to sit for 3-4 months between issue 2 and 3, but he has done such a nice job to where I'm not worried about you know, about being able to pick things up. There are some really cool action scenes in here from Joe Mad too. You know, just very
I like the rainbows.
Yeah. Well, and Marty Garcia on colors, I mean, did a really knockout job on this, especially during these fight scenes, the rainbows being one. But, you know, when you see this kid who he's, like, throwing rocks and has lightning coming out of him, I mean, just the line work of, like, having that kind of that electrical glow around everything was really, really fantastic.
I've always, you know, loved the Inhumans, but for you, you've loved X-Men. Do you personally, coming off that, have any thinking similarities?
It's exactly the fucking same. Are you kidding me? It's great.
Well, no, but X-Men though don't have like kings and everything. Well, I guess they have the Hellfire's Club, but
yeah, I don't know. Well, at this point now, you have all of these new Inhumans coming up, and it's just the same as. You know, are they gonna follow their king and queen? Who knows? I mean, right now these people are still, they're Earthlings, they're humans in their own mind. They aren't part of a different race. I don't know. That does lead into a topic, which I don't know if we want to tackle today or not. But I saw a thing online about. Well, and actually, you know what? We'll cover it later in news because okay. I do have some stuff that'll cover it there.
Is it news or notes?
This will be news and notes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'll dial in.
Here's the spoiler, though, that I'm giving away. In 2 weeks, the next issue comes out.
Dun, dun, dun.
So.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah. Because, I mean, well, hell, I think Ryan, when we saw him in May, was already working on pages for, like, issues 4 and 5.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Or, I'm sorry, no, like 5 and 6. Because he'd already had 4 done. So I'm hoping that this means that Ryan's sitting on a stack of finished... Oops, I'm knocking shit over. that Ryan's sitting on a stack of, you know, fucking finished pages and that this book is ready to roll out. What I don't want them to do is shove them out on 2 weeks to get caught back up on production.
Yeah.
You know, just bring it back out. I'm fine if you want to push issue 4 out quickly, but... Monthly books, please, Marvel.
Yes.
Please. Don't be dicks. So, all right. That's it. Kevin? Right.
So, are you guys monster movie fans at all?
Yeah.
You are?
Yeah.
So you watch this stuff growing up?
Which kind of monster movies are we talking
about? Well, I'm going to be talking a little bit about Godzilla today. So
Godzilla.
Yeah, yeah, we'll just stick with that one. You guys watched a bunch of Godzilla growing up?
Yeah.
I watched some, yeah.
Yeah,
I never understood. Sometimes he was the bad guy, sometimes he was the good guy. There's always little kids that, like, could control stuff and, like, go, Godzilla, go!
Yeah, I liked Godzilla.
Like, I feel like Godzilla was whatever they wanted him to be.
I liked the old school, like, you know, Hollywood monster movies, like the Frankenstein and Creature from the Black Lagoon and...
Yeah.
And then I liked the really terrible B-movie 70s stuff, because that's when I grew up. Like, there was one movie that scared the shit out of me, and this has nothing to do with what you're going to talk about.
That's fine.
But there was one movie, I was in kindergarten, I was watching it with my best friend Mark over at his house, because we were having a sleepover or whatever. Sleepover. Yeah.
Almost a slumber party.
Yeah, it's not really... No, it was just two of us. You have to have more than two for a slumber party.
I never thought of that.
So we're watching it, and his sister let us watch this movie, which she shouldn't have, but, you know, we begged, and we were little assholes, and, you know, it's like a bag of assholes. And so she let us watch it, and it was this weird movie about, like, if you got thrown into this swamp, you became a frog person, and it scared the fuck out of me.
So you spend, like, the next few days avoiding water?
Yeah, which is not really possible, A, in Michigan.
Yeah.
And B, especially out where I lived. I mean, there was like, you know, there's a big lake right across the street that was like all full of lily pads and shit like that. I mean, it's a swampy, mucky lake. There's a fucking like little swamp down at the end of my dad's property. Your little swamp pond thing. Yeah. And then and it was one of those movies. All I remember was at the end, there's like a cliffhanger where like a little you see a little frog. And, like, you know, and it's sitting there, and then it says, like, a word, you know, because, like, it's a frog person.
And you don't remember the name of this movie?
No. I was five, man.
I'm so waiting for the segue to get back to Godzilla.
Yeah, Godzilla.
You're talking about, like, movies you were watching growing up.
I told you it had nothing to do with what we were going to talk about. Okay.
Well, I had to go full circle in my head, like, how did we get there? But, no, good story, Derek.
Good. I hate you guys.
See, I like the story, but I need to know the name of the movie now because I'm sort of interested.
That would be cool if you could find it because I don't know.
Yeah. Listeners, if you know what the fuck Derek is talking about, get a hold of us.
Well, I don't know. I was just curious because I go into the movie video store. I always see the box art, but I never picked up the movies. But I knew about what Godzilla was, and I've seen a couple things here and there, but I wasn't really gung-ho about it. Now, I did receive the recent theatrical Godzilla,
mm-hmm.
which was awesome. Have you guys seen that?
Nope.
With Matthew Broderick?
No.
No. Not the greatest Godzilla ever.
T-Rexzilla.
No, the recent Godzilla film, and I don't know any of the actor's name, the guy from Malcolm in the Middle.
Bryan Cranston.
Yeah, the guy from Malcolm in the Middle. Yeah. Not the guy in the middle, though. That movie was really good. I enjoyed it from top to bottom, I was expecting more Godzilla, but of course you have to have a human element to it.
Why?
Because I don't think you could get by. I thought this long ago that you could make a monster movie and just have it be exclusive monsters, but you need something to tie in the audience.
Says you.
Because you could do it, but the movie would be short. I mean, could you really have basically a 90-minute action sequence movie?
Well, yeah, you know what you do, though? Like, when you run out of stuff with that monster, new monster.
Gotta leave it open for a sequel, brother.
Yeah. And then when that monster gets boring, new monster. It's called Pacific Rim. So...
I look forward to a sequel, which I was surprised that they're doing.
Yeah, me too. I liked it.
Yeah, I was real surprised.
D-Box! Yes. All right,
so I'm just waiting until we get to the comic part.
Oh, we'll get there. We'll get there.
So,
the listeners. I've been listening to the listeners. I wanted a movie I love.
I mean, Tony, Chase and Amy's such a good movie, man.
Tony, this is called foreplay. Just get over it. Okay. I know.
Slowly inserting it.
That's the best part.
Slowly inserting your review?
Exactly.
Why are you slowly inserting it now?
I'm saying the audience, I was listening to them, they wanted another epic 28-minute review. So I'm getting there.
More foreplay.
So I picked up Godzilla Cataclysm number 1 by IDW, and... Oh my god, I just picked it up merely because it was Godzilla. But to my surprise, Derek, give you a guess. We're talking about, I think, A-list writers. Do you know who wrote this week?
The new Godzilla?
Yeah.
Was it Charles Soule?
It was. That would have been awesome.
Because he writes
everything.
Yeah. Let's see. I'm trying to think of people. Okay, could it have been Mark Waid?
Nope.
You're
out of guesses. Sorry.
I guess Colin Bunn.
That was my next guess, you asshole.
Well,
It's only because I stopped. Yeah,
I know. You're seeing my notes over here.
I was trying to see if it was somebody else.
Colin Bunn, if you're not familiar with him, he currently is doing Magneto, Sinestro, some Deadpool titles, and...
Sixth Gun.
I have
a hard time with that word.
Which is a fucking badass. It's still a badass series. You guys need to check out that. But, and then art by Dave Watcher, who is pretty much sticking with IDN and doing art for them. So, but I have to lead in with the art, because as I'm reading this, looking at it, I'm thinking to myself, God damn, it's another one of these books where they really either must have all the art done way ahead of time, or he's lightning quick, because I just think there's lots of detail here when they are showing the monsters.
There's a lot of detail just in all the everyday stuff.
Yeah, and really, this is the art alone is why I'm bringing this off the shelf this week, because everything else just seemed kind of vanilla to me. And no disrespect to the other books that I read,
and no disrespect to vanilla
ice
baby. Okay, stay in focus. I wanted to like rank and go like in three different directions with that.
When that happens, you know, just stop, collaborate, and listen, and then go ninja, go ninja, go.
Okay. No singing to myself.
Nobody at home could see you dancing while you were singing to yourself. That was actually kind of fun.
Yeah. But everything I really like this is. The colors are wonderful, and really gives off. Where am I going with this? There's
a lot of depth in every page.
Yeah.
And just from looking at it here, panels are well thought out too.
Yeah. What's happening in this book is you have the world's death has been decimated by monsters. Well, in the past, where the monsters, they'll just have their own little fight, and then one will die, or they'll just part ways, and then the Earth settles up for a period of time. And then they'll come back, wreck some stuff. But in Cataclysm, number one, they just decimate everything, and the humans now are living in rubble. They're forced to scavenge for supplies, and whatever they need for life. So what Dave Watcher did is I thought he did a really good job of giving off the doom that these people are living in.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was really, really well done. The things like showing the overgrowth to the cities, because there was an extended period of time between the monsters wrecking shit, going away, and to where they are right now in the story. But
the one thing that I'm curious, and you may have said this already, and I may have totally forgot.
We could have. This has been a long review, so.
Well, did Watcher do colors on this as well, or was that somebody else?
The credits were very simple. Very simplistic in this book, where it was just mentions Dave and Colin.
Okay, then he probably did colors as well.
Yeah.
If there's no colorist listed.
Yeah, so now you saw some of these panels.
Yeah.
These were probably done. Yeah. See, here's that page. And I'm showing
this. Yeah, so he must have done all the line art, pencils, inks, and colors. That's
fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is just crazy.
Well, you know,
and I picked this, and I'm showing this to everyone on digitally,
mm-hmm.
which I almost forgot about this feature. Which, side note, I love is when I'm reading this, doing the
double tap so you can zoom in on the panel.
Well, so I could actually read the one panel, or so I could read it one panel at a time.
Yeah,
I forgot about this feature, and I'm loving it because my when I open a page, my mind wanders throughout the whole page.
You know,
and I want to read it as a story, and it, I mean, usually they space it well enough that you're not going to have something spoiled until the next page, but.
Yeah,
I think this is yet another reason why I'm going to pick up more things digitally.
Now you're using a different kind of tablet than I am, but I know that
because you're an Apple guy.
Well, it just happens that that's what I've got because that's what I started with through work.
So, sure. Yeah. Well, and what, you bad mouthing Apple?
I don't really have a pre. Well, no. Like people get really pissy. You know.
Why? What are they getting
pissed
Apple about?
Or nothing? Fuck Apple. I don't know. Like,
yeah, what, no, all I'm saying is that you got Apple, and I got, and I'm using it in an Android tablet.
Yeah,
and I'm sure, but purchased through Comixology, I'm sure there's really no difference.
Well,
except maybe the resolution of the screen.
Well, there may or may not be. One thing that I do know that I've got the ability on this is that when you're doing that panel by panel, which you may. And I'm mentioning this, which has nothing to do with the review, but I think it's a good tip for people because the panel by panel is great, but at the same time, if you don't ever see the full page, you're missing a lot of what the artist intended. You know, and
well,
also what
in certain pages, sure, I could see that. I don't think that it applies with this book.
But there's a way to handle that. You can actually have it set so that you can go panel by panel, and when it finishes the end of the page, it will show you, it zooms out, and you see the whole page.
Oh, okay.
You can also have it so that it shows you the whole page first, and then it goes panel by panel, and then shows you the next page, but then goes panel by panel. There's actually settings in there that you can do, and it's kind of cool.
Oh, see, I've never played with the settings. Thanks for the tip, man.
Yeah, pro tip. What?
do I owe you anything?
Just the tip.
No. Here's a tip for you. Don't take a shower with a rain cap on.
Well, that is swell there, Bucky. I appreciate the news. What the hell? I don't know. I felt like we were going all old-timey.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, we're old-timey talking about Godzilla.
Yeah.
But this is a great number one. I was really happy about it. I thought... I picked it up. I knew there was going to be some humans in it. And I thought they were just going to be forced in there, and I think they're going to have a nice contributing factor to the overall story, which, of course, is going to have a bunch of monsters in it. There is some conflict in this with some good backstory. I think, overall, Colin did a really good job with this book, and I would definitely recommend everyone to give it a shot. I mean, it's Godzilla. I could see... how it would either you're gonna love it or hate it, but I think that anyone who would read this, even if they were in the hate it camp, would love it.
Cool.
End review.
And scene.
end of line. Is that how it worked in Tron?
I don't remember.
Remember with the MCP?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't really remember. So, all right, that was off the shelf. Brought to you once again by GrandCon. Go check them out, grand-con.com. We started to mention this in the review of Inhumans, and so I'm going to bring this back around. There was, I don't know, a weekish ago, Vin Diesel hinted at something on the Twitters. Oh crap! I don't know how to work my tablet here today, but. Basically, he said, quote, "I get the strange feeling that Marvel thinks I'm inhuman, ..
What?
Ha ha." But he capitalized inhuman.
Okay.
So now that leads to the first question. Are they making an Inhumans movie? And the answer to that, it appears that they are, because this week they also announced that there is a screenwriter tied to... the new Marvel project of Inhuman. Yeah.
Okay, I've been living under a rock this week, and so all this news is new news to me. So thank you for sharing that. I am excited.
Yeah, it's all the good news with Gary Gnu.
But I don't... I like Vin Diesel. He's a good...
Okay, but here... Now there's...
The Nanny? Or is it The Pacifier?
Oh, Pacifier.
Yeah, yeah, so there was an article that I saw on HitFix.com, and they raised... They did a very good job, because they're like, wait a minute, how do you have... Because I haven't seen Guardians, but I'm seeing it this afternoon. I've already got it planned, so you guys can bitch at me later that I'm still behind the times. But everybody's like, well, you know, his voice is so distinctive that whenever you're going to hear him, you're going to be like, that's Groot. But if he plays Black Bolt, he'll never speak. So they can actually get the best of both worlds. They
and
can
so
get
his only lines in the Marvel Universe are, I am Groot.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. So, now, this is...
Oh, Black Bolt, though. That...
I think they got time to figure that out.
Well, they aren't even starting to cast.
I saw somewhere that this might not even be out until 2019.
Yeah, that's about right, seems like.
I will say, though, this would be a competitor for the X-Men movies.
Well, and that then goes into another thing that I saw online, which where I was about to start the conversation while I was talking about the book, but I didn't want to... I just wanted to talk about the book. I didn't want to talk about stupid things like frog movies and all that, like, in the middle of a review. That's just...
That was sort of interesting.
That's just fucking stupid. Why would you do that? So... anyway, there's a... One of the things that was brought up is... Is Marvel hoping the X-Men fail? You know, it's the same thing with the Fantastic Four bullshit that went on a little while
ago. They don't need to hope for that. That's going to do it itself.
But they're like, oh, they're killing off Wolverine. They're intentionally trying to sabotage this. And I don't remember who it was from Marvel. He basically posted something. It was, I don't know if it was some interview, if it was a panel, if it was a wherever it was, or if he was just talking on Twitter or whatever. But people are like, why aren't there, you know, Days of Future Past toys and this and that and everything else? And his response was, well, he goes, it's not that we don't want to, but there's only so many hours in the day. But he basically alluded to something along the lines of, okay, so if you have something like, and I'm just picking Inhumans here, where they own all of the rights to it. Well, actually, let's just say Guardians, because that's a perfect one. You own 100% of the rights to it. The movie rights, the merchandising, everything. And then you have X-Men, where you own the comic book stuff, but when it comes to anything spinning off from the film, you're only going to get a percentage of. And let's just say it's half. But if it takes you 10 hours to work on a Rocket Raccoon action figure that you make 100% of the profits on, and it takes you 10 hours to work on a Wolverine figure, which you get half of, from a business standpoint, which one are you going to do? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't know. Definitely good, deep, drunken conversation material for later. So, you're welcome.
well, so you brought up Rocket Raccoon. From an article from the Christian Science Monitor, July 14. Was the most profitable month ever in comic book history.
Well,
and
yes, but there is like a little asterisk on that.
Yeah, because sure. I'm just reading the headline. You'll have to read the full article.
Right. Well, it like they didn't actually start tracking everything fully until I think it was like 91 or 93 or something like that. Oh, so that's why I say there's an asterisk.
Oh, sure. Yeah, it's kind of like sacks in the NFL.
Exactly. That's exactly what
I'm
saying.
Come on, man. Those few people who are sports nuts and comics enthusiasts who happen to listen to our podcast will get that.
Wait. I got one. It's like WHIP in baseball.
Yeah?
I just... like
you just found out about WHIP?
Uh-huh.
The fuck is WHIP?
With hitters in position, or is that right?
Yeah, it's relating to, something like that? Runners in scoring position.
Yeah,
the more you know.
What was starting to come out of my mouth actually was the sad walking away music from The Incredible Hulk. That didn't work at all.
It works, but. What I took from this, and if you're curious, so they summarized to say last year's comic sales were $870 million, but they were mainly focused on the profit, obviously, from the headline I just read. But made me do the quick math, and I guess I forget about this, that goddamn, I forget how profitable damn comic books are.
Well, yeah, especially for the publishers.
Yeah, because if you do the quick math, you say, okay, so this month was $53 million in profit. You bring that down, multiply it out over 12 months. Fucking A. I mean, there's huge GP, gross profit, in the comic book world. It kind of pisses me off that I'm still paying $3.99.
Nah, that doesn't piss me off.
Hey, give me a 50-cent break, man. What's wrong with $3.49?
Well, if you went to a store like ours, you get 20% off. Because we're cool.
Fuck you, asshole.
Well, or you could just give them $5 and then you're on there. Then you get your pull. And,
yeah, you know, I get a discount at my place but only for my pull items. But anyway, I was surprised to actually see this because, especially Rocket Raccoon number one. I had it in my hand. I did not pull the trigger and pick it up. So that was kind of the catalyst to the record profit month was that book.
Yeah, it's it's definitely cool. There's some other stuff. Speaking of Rocket, that there was another, you know, they did release sales numbers, and this is one of the things that I thought was probably the more interesting point for me, because we've talked sales numbers and who has shares and this and mm-hmm. that and all sure. that. Looking at total number of comics shipped is starting to get interesting, because Marvel, DC actually shipped the most with 97.
Because I knew DC was the most, but they have the second most actual in sales
and yeah. Yep, and all that. Marvel had the most in sales and all that, but they shipped 93 books. Third was Image with 66, yeah. Which, I mean, that's a decent drop off.
Sure.
But then IDW at 48,
yeah.
Dynamite at 40, Dark Horse at 39.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, whoa. And then Boom Studios at 29. And now, a little tie in, because we've got an interview coming up later this week for, you know, listeners at home, that we interviewed Chris Miskevich, who is the writer from. And we did learn how to say that name properly.
Yes, you did.
Yeah. The writer from Thomas Alsop from Boom. And one of the things that I know we were talking about, I don't know if it was in the interview or after, but one of the reasons I like Boom is I think that they're putting out such a high percentage of high-quality books where, yeah, maybe they're only doing 29 compared to the 97 from DC. And I you know, for me personally, there's only, I guess if you're counting Vertigo books, maybe there's 3 or 4 DC books that I think are just really knocking it out of the park. So it's fun to look at these numbers because it
Well, I mean, there could be more, but we only have so many dollars and so many hours in a day.
Well, yeah.
There could be a gem out there.
But I'm just saying for me personally.
Sure. You know. Well, then, I mean, I know you have Chubb for the 4th, 5th, and 6th publishers on that list you've just gone over too.
Oh yeah, and there's even more farther down,
including with is it Blue Ocean Comics?
Actually, yeah, and the one that's a really good one to bring up, because thank God for Blue Water Productions.
Blue Water, thank you.
Thank God for them, because Miley Cyrus's life is being turned into a comic book,
knocking out of the park again.
I've got one big question though with this that I think is probably everyone's first question: who the fuck reads these comics?
I don't know. And
me.
What did you think of the Margaret Thatcher done up by
the Julia Child?
Yeah.
Who is the Paula Deen? What about hers?
I have them hanging up on my wall.
Yeah. Well, I know you. With Paula Deen, I know.
Better your walls than your ceiling.
Yeah. The Paula Deen ones, Tony, just he doesn't use tape or glue. He just smears lard and sticks it to the wall.
Have you looked at any of these panels?
Did they
throw it out for previews?
I mean, you know that I have a special place in my heart for Miley, and yeah.
Yeah, I can't, man.
I'll tip my hat to them, the company. There's a niche. There's a niche for these books, and we make fun of them. But hey, you know, props to them for sticking with it and reaching their audience.
Yeah.
I'll say this though. I mean, I can see she could be related to Toad.
Yeah.
X-Men.
Yeah.
What?
That tongue sticking out the way that she's just all twerking all over everything.
Wait, do they do that?
Toad twerks. Pretty sure Toad twerks. Toad twerks, just trust me.
Okay.
Marvel, write that in the fucking books. speaking of Boom Studios, you guys are familiar with, and I'm guessing that this is probably coming out through Kaboom, their kids imprint that they have. And this one I've got to ask because, okay, Becky and Frank's Capture Creatures. Have you ever heard of Capture Creatures?
Nope.
Okay.
No. Well, not until I read up in this article, which is I mean, it's so adorable.
They're really cute.
They're Pokemon.
That's my question.
No, they're the Capture Creatures.
Like, okay.
You mean Digimon?
but yes, like they've got like,
or any of the other mons.
Well, okay.
Come on, Mon.
Jamaican? Jamaicans? That didn't work. Fuck. okay. How can you do... I don't understand. I guess I forgot about Digimon. But how do you do Capture Creatures and that's not like the same thing as Pokemon?
Yeah.
But I don't know Pokemon. Like, Tony, you were a Pokemon kid.
Yes, and I'm looking at some of these and I'm just... It the likenesses of some of them do remind me a few Pokemon creatures.
Yeah, I'm just I don't know. I guess
they know that's what's going to capture children's hearts.
You got to capture them all.
Yes.
Yeah, all of the children's hearts.
All the creatures that are children.
Bag of assholes. So anyway. I'm sorry, the visual of a bag of assholes cracks me up. And now that I know that I can get them, just go to the store and buy some calamari.
Yeah.
All right, this one here was... this one bothers me. I'm not going to lie. San Diego Comic-Con has now officially sued Salt Lake Comic-Con for the use of the word Comic-Con, which back in the 90s they tried to trademark and they couldn't get it trademarked.
Yeah, which I'm confused by the lawsuit because I mean if they don't own it then I don't know how I guess if they're the Comic-Con San Diego Comic-Con has a specific logo to it that everyone's very familiar with, you know, the eye.
Yeah.
Now if they did the exact same thing and just took out the word San Diego and replaced it with Salt Lake.
Sure.
Then I can understand that.
Well, that'd be copyright.
Which I didn't read. There's a 16-page document.
The papers.
I didn't read any of that. But that'd be the only thing I could think of is why a lawsuit would be filed.
But it's not. Salt Lake has, like, you know, it says Salt Lake across the top with Comic-Con, and then it's got, like, Salt Lake Skyline underneath in their logo. It's just, this to me is frivolous and bullshit, and what I think is stupid is that if San Diego didn't want more people, you know, if they're pissed at these people, you know what? You're just creating way more press for them, going, I didn't even know Salt Lake had a Comic-Con. So
yeah,
yep.
It's silly. It would be interesting to.
I'm curious though why they picked out Salt Lake of the thousands.
Yeah, because cons. Does everyone use Comic-Con? I mean, in the title.
Not everyone. Sometimes they're expos, you know, and sometimes they're grand cons. But I mean, I can think of three shows here in the state of Michigan right off the top of my head. I can think of at least two shows in Ohio. I can think of, you know, I can think of lots. I mean, and that's just like ones that are still coming up.
I wonder if there's something more behind stage, you know.
There's got to be, because New York.
Someone that runs San Diego hates the person at Salt Lake, and they are.
There's got to be something, because New York Comic Con's been going on for how long? And New York Comic Con is the second largest convention, you know, that in North America.
Well, right after San Diego. Well, Salt Lake now is the third.
In the United States is what they're saying.
In the U.S.
Because I think Toronto Fan Expo, which Kevin, you and I will be at in, shit, what, 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Oh. That was at least the third largest in North America. I don't know where stats sit now because they're just popping up. But, yeah, frivolous lawsuit, in my opinion.
I want to say... If anyone has the Cliff Notes version for us, just shoot us the line.
Yeah.
I want to say... Thank you. This logo for Access is just mesmerizing to me. Like, how it looks, the Access.
Oh, the Access, so that you can actually literally flip it upside down and read it again. Tony, are you cheating and actually looking at news?
I just looked at the logo.
Okay, because I do believe your comment before we started was, I just want to talk and not think. So
okay, well, I thought about that. And,
oh, there you did. See, you thought.
Failing.
And I thought that I shouldn't think. I should just say, that looks cool.
Yeah.
I can read it upside down. I can flip my computer around.
The Axis logo. I just got out of mirror.
I don't know. Who's this guy? This guy, he's looks like Hulk, but...
That's Clue, which is Hulk spelled backwards. Okay. And it's the inversion. Of Hulk.
So there's going to be a lot of Inverness characters in this?
Good guys, bad guys. Bad guys, good guys. Dogs, cats, living together. Mass hysteria.
What are you quoting?
Ghostbusters.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Like, why... I got way too much booze in me to think about that right now. It's going to be a lot of bizarro world stuff, I think. But I did like the fact that they named a Clue, which is... Hulk backwards.
Storm is Roots.
Roots? What?
Cyclops Rots. Is Spikel. Xavier's Ravex. I'm just trying to keep going. Jean Grey is Jurg Nietzsche.
Well,
Derek, you're Key Red.
Well,
and why not? Kevin is Nevik. Well, Matt is Tam. I can keep going. It's going to be my new favorite game.
Race car is race car.
Well, what about... What?
A palindrome. A palindrome.
What about lived Erad? That's Daredevil. all right, so yeah, anyway.
Loop Dade.
What?
Deadpool. Loop Dade.
Oh, Jesus. All right, anyway, this... There's a bunch of stuff coming out about the Access, and the big one is that Apocalypse is going to be returning.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's been a little while, I guess, to come back. I do like what they've been doing with Genesis, so hopefully maybe it's a separate character so that you can have this Genesis kid.
Kid Apocalypse?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still be there. Because the only thing that I have a problem with if he becomes Apocalypse is really going towards the point where everyone can say, fucking told you so, Wolverine.
Should have killed him.
Yeah, he was going to be Apocalypse, and I really want them to go against the norm and have him be a good guy. Or maybe have him sacrifice himself to kill Apocalypse. I don't know.
Good job just saying words and not thinking there, Tom. The last thing, actually, I might have two things here. I do. I got two things left. Tony? We briefly touched on it earlier with the Go Ninja, Go Ninja, Go. Did you see Turtles?
Nope.
Are you going to?
Nope.
Well, guess what else you're not going to see?
What?
A Ninja Turtles sequel.
Not going to see it?
You're not going to see it. But everyone else will, because they got the green light.
Green light.
Yeah, get it?
The Turtles.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you can hide under a shell and not go see it if you want. But, you know.
Of course they're going to make a sequel. This is probably,
they got a $65 million opening weekend. That's all they needed. They went, boop, you know. Yay, pizza party. Let's go see it.
you see that Kraft macaroni and cheese commercial?
With vanilla ice in it?
Vanilla ice.
Yeah. Did you hear that he was upset that he didn't think that the new song really captured the spirit of the Turtles?
I did not hear the TMNT signature song.
Yeah. All right, last thing, Tony.
Yeah, this is something that really has...
No, wait, I got the last thing.
Oh, you got the last thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, there might be something else later, but there's something else. Leave your Trident at home. Aquaman's coming to the theater, bitches.
Okay.
Aquaman movie. There's two writers reportedly working on one, so whether or not Aquaman's going to appear before then, I don't know, but it is actually going to happen. And yeah. There's rumors now, they're saying that Jason Momoa might be playing him, but that seems way early to me to speculate.
You can have anyone play the role. I'll be there.
Oh, I know you will.
I will.
You need to cosplay for that shit.
What, Aquaman?
As Aquaman. Like old school, like superhero or super friends. And I want you coming in on a freaking seahorse.
Okay.
Yeah, but the only neat part about this is that there's two writers working on it, and they're doing their own stories, and Warner Brothers / DC is going to take the one that they think is best.
Right.
So.
Yeah, let's wait till the end for this.
I got a couple things here. Yeah. Actually, quick Best on Tap brought to you by Daw Apparel. It's DAWAPPARELL. You can go.com, go online and get your own Drunk on Comics t-shirts because they look awesome. The only other thing that looked as awesome for cover this week was the Judge Dredd Anderson Side Division subscription variant cover by Mimi Yoon. Just absolutely beautiful. And I love what she can do with the eyes of characters. There's something about it that she does. There's a few other artists out there that I know that, like, whenever I see it, I mean, it's like you're just drawn right to the eyes of her characters. And it's that gaze, it's that stare. There's so much life there. So, beautiful, beautiful job. I'll post this up on our website with the podcast later. Indie Turnpike. Well, Tony and I both went to the shop at the same time this week, and then Tony wasn't able to get to any of his books after that. But we've been talking about this book off air for a long time, and it's Ghosted from Image and Skybound, written by Josh Williamson. And I'm going to screw up names here so bad. On art, you've got David Gianfelice, Miroslav Mrva, I'm not sure, it's Mrva, on colors. Russ Wooten on letters, I got that one. but we've been talking about this book for a while, and it was one of those where both Tony and I, for whatever reason, missed the first issue. And then we're like, and then it starts picking up steam, and it's like, it's getting into it, and we haven't picked up the trade yet. But one of our friends at our shop, Phil, recommended that we pick this up. And he's like, you guys need to pick this one up, and I'll explain why briefly at the end. But I'm like, I said, I've been wanting to read this book. And he goes, it's the start of a new arc. And I'm like, perfect reason. It was a lighter week for me anyway. Glad I did. Basically, you've got your main character in this book who is kind of like a psychic detective, if you will, or a paranormal detective, I guess I should say. There's a lot I don't know still about this book, but your main character's name is Jackson. He's a bit of a badass. He swears incessantly, which I love. Because it's very natural. It's not a forced, it's kind of like the way that we all sit around and,
fuck.
Yeah. So, lot of fun. You've got some government baddies that are coming down, but you find out that there's been more and more paranormal shit that's been going on, and the government and other people need Jackson's help to try and get it. there's another underlying story of different things going on. The son of someone is in here that's kind of tied in, and he's part of a bad guy. I'm going to give away what I thought was really cool, and the main part of the story that got me hooked was there was this, in the beginning you see that there's this woman who had been stalked by this guy who she never really knew, but this guy's like, I love you, we have to be together, blah, blah, blah. And apparently he kills himself or commits suicide. And the girl's like, it's great, I'm never going to have to, I'm happy. Like, she's crying, I'm happy because I'm never going to have to see him again. And then you get the nice reveal of his bloodied ghost just hovering around behind her. And where it really gets fucked up and where I'm like, okay, this is a great book, I need to see what's going on. You see her again way later in the issue. And, you know, she's in the shower. You've got the ghost standing behind her. He's sitting on her bed watching her. She goes in the kitchen. She hears a whole bunch of stuff. And she goes back into her bedroom. And, like, everything's turned around. And I love you. I'll love you forever is written on the walls. There's furniture sticking on the wall upside down. I'm like, holy fuck. And you see that this one little bad guy is taking death wishes. So if you want to haunt somebody forever, you can.
Oh, that's kind of...
It's fucked up.
Yeah.
So, really smart writing by Williamson. The artwork in here is actually really nice. The colors really helped it pop. But I mean, there's just some really strong panels in there. And it's a lot of classic styles to it, which I really enjoyed. But I'm glad I picked this one up. It's something that I've been wanting to try, like I said. But anyway... The other reason that Phil wanted us to pick this up is that he got his letter published on the letters page.
Oh, nice.
And he's like, and he kind of, and I'm going to say what he said here is that because he's been recommending this book to us every time it comes out. We go in, he's like, did you pick it up, Ghosted? Pick up Ghosted. And I love him for doing that.
Yeah.
But he goes, his quote here was, whenever I recommend this book, I tell people it's the best 007 movie you've seen mixed with the show Supernatural. And I think that's a really good way of describing it. So, but the other thing was is that he is getting married here, and so he asked, "Hey, could you give a shout out to you know my future wife and all that?" And I thought it was cool that they did give a shout out to him and his future wife Jessica. So that was kind of cool to see. But anyway, that's Indie Turnpike this week. We got booze in a book.
Yeah. Geez, Derek, Hogg, doing everything.
Hey, geez, Tony, lazy, doing nothing. okay, so Booze in a Book this week. I had Ghosted picked out for Booze in a Book, and then something kind of changed on me at the last minute. And here's where I'm telling people, spoilers. Heavy, heavy spoiler with my Booze in a Book.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Walking Dead, number 130. And I'm pairing this with a truth serum, which truth serum is a shot of triple sec, a shot of vodka, a shot of blue curacao, a shot of Midori, and a drop of absinthe.
And how the fuck do you drink that? Just slam it?
You pour it over rocks, and then you top it off with lemonade.
Sounds delicious.
Yeah. Obviously, there's a lot of booze. It's called truth serum because if you drink that, you're going to start talking. Spoiler, you've been warned.
Wait, dude, so should I leave the room?
No, because you're not going to read The Walking Dead. End of this issue of The Walking Dead, it appears that the dead are talking. So...
What?
So, you could have a truth serum, and you'll start talking. The dead in The Walking Dead, apparently they've had a few truth serums, because they started talking.
Wow.
So, there you go. That's Booze in a Book, which was brought to you by Ink Whiskey, which I used my flask last night quite a bit, and holy crap, did I get a lot of people ask about that.
I used it a lot last night. I went to Mega 80s, and...
Oh, that would have been perfect for it.
And when I brought it out, people were like, what the fuck, you brought a Nintendo game in here? I mean, I guess it goes with your outfit. I'm like, nope, this is a flask.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, so go to inkwhiskey.com and check those guys out. $20 for a flask, shipping's included. Can't beat that. Kevin, did you have anything for last call? Whatever you're flipping through right there.
Yeah. Amazing Spider-Man number 5.
Yeah. That was in Tony's stack, too. He doesn't know how it was yet. All-new X-Men number 30. And two other books that I really, really wanted to talk about. Burn the Orphanage, number 4 of 5. Cena Grace and Daniel Friedman. This book right here is, like, full-on homage to the video games that where you can see a lot. And one of the probably the best single panel out of any that I saw this week, where you've got Lex looking over her shoulder and she says, "Okay, stripper ninjas, follow me." That's all you need to know. Like, mm-hmm. Like just
that they're there.
Yeah. Come on, stripper ninjas. You know, I just love it. And Thomas Alsop, number 3 of 8 from Boom Studios. And, you know, if you guys are interested, the reason I only reason I didn't review this, which I would have broken my rule again of reviewing the same book in subsequent releases, the only reason I didn't is because we got to talk to Chris Miskevich, and so that satisfied that.
Miskevich? I can't.
Well, say. I thought it was Miskiewicz, and we asked him before, like right before we record, like, "Hey, how do you pronounce, you know, your name?" And and he's like, you know, he goes, "I get it all the time." He goes, "The proper Polish pronunciation is Miskiewicz." And he goes, Miskiewicz, whatever. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, so it's Miskiewicz. I wrote it down phonetically.
Yeah.
And Tony's intro, just wait till you hear it.
It was not 30 seconds before.
It was like 10. It was literally, all right, cool, let's go. We got it.
He had stage fright.
But the best part was is that he is a fantastic dude, and he just busted out laughing. So he's like, "Oh, that guy's just saying words and not thinking." So, cool. That does it for me.
That almost does it for me.
We do have one more thing.
There's something that was been in the news all week and will probably be on our hearts and minds for a while. The passing of Robin Williams.
Yeah. What a lot of people don't know is that Robin was actually a comic book fan. He was actually a semi-regular customer in a shop out in California, where they, you know, a lot of people talked about him going. He's been quoted as talking about different types of books, and he liked a wide variety of things. He wasn't just your standard superhero. He liked the graphic novels. He got into manga and a bunch of other different things. Obviously, he touched all of our hearts throughout, but we would be remiss if we did not say, for those of you that are out there, obviously, you know, Robin took his own life. If anybody is struggling with that, please reach out and get help. There's a number of places you can go. The suicide hotline. There are people there that are always there.
Yep. Depression is something that people live with. You don't know who has it, what level, but it's something that is prevalent in everyone. Everyone gets a little depressed. But never should it come to taking your own life. Talk to people. Try to seek the help if you can. The U.S. National Suicide Prevention Lifeline is 1-800-273-8255. Just remember, be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a hard battle.
Cool. Yeah, guys. So, yeah, just remember, too, you're not alone. So, you know, that does it pretty much for this show. Sorry to end on a somber note, but you know, we felt it was important that we mentioned this and brought it up. So, all right, guys, you can find us on Twitters. Find us at drunkoncomics.com. You can find us on Facebook. I think our Instagram account's still active. I don't know, but keep reading your comics, guys. We'll be back next week to talk to you more about them. Then we'll see ya.